This is Christ Together Radio. For the next hour, listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy discuss how God is working in the Church of Western New York. God is on a mission in Buffalo, and we want you to hear about what is happening and where it's happening, and join in. So grab that second cup of coffee and listen in to Christ Together Radio.
Welcome to Christ Together Radio. We're glad you joined us this week and every week here on Christ Together Radio. Some of you have been listening right along, and we hear from you occasionally, and some are just tuning in for the first time. If you're tuning in for the first time, give us a chance before you change that dial. And I'm Brett Larson, sitting alongside Ryan Cozy as we co-host every week here on Christ Together Radio, Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at noon right here on WDCX. You can also check us out online at WDCXradio.com. Click on Programs and then scroll down to Christ Together Radio. You can get all of our past programs if you kind of want to, even last week's program, which dealt with the same clientele, I shall say, or the same pastors as we have on with us this week. A little different topic this week as we take it to the next level, but you might want to catch up and check out what God has done throughout Western New York in so many different areas as we've been able to log our past programs on that website. Today, we're talking about church planting, and we're taking it a next step further, a step down the road as to what it might look like and why we do church planting, how the church can impact, and why it's so important for gospel saturation to have churches as the core and as kind of like the foundation, as the home base, as if you will, for what God is doing in a region. And Ryan, it's just interesting, even in the break, we were talking about how we see church planting take effect in so many different ways, so many different dynamics, but it extends out into the marketplace, into the world, into what's going on in our communities, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. You know, one of the things for me, I feel like one of the greatest teachable moments that the Lord has used CPI for in my personal life and in the responsibilities I feel that I have in my role here in the region is if God can do this with church planting, and we believe that whatever God's going to do in the world, he wants to do through all of his people, what other ways does God want for us to be the salt and light of the gospel in this region? Church planting is phenomenal, and we're going to keep doing it. We got a lane for that. We're going to keep blowing, and we're going to keep going. We're going to keep doing it. But if we just stop there and just say, well, church planting's the solve. Well, church planting gets us to saturation, but there's other things that get us to saturation. I feel like when you can look in a room and you can see just this momentum, this groundswell start around church planting, you can't help but wonder, Lord, what other initiatives do you want to do this with? You know, how else do you want the Church of Western New York to represent you, to glorify you in ways that we can step into spaces where there's real tangible need in the region? That just gets me super excited.
Well, it's exciting to hear about. And if you want to hear more about it, you need to stick around. We're going to head to a break here in just a minute. But I want to just encourage you to tell others, maybe call somebody, grab that second cup of coffee. If you're listening to us, you know, it's your Saturday morning and you just, you're just hanging out in your house and got the radio on, just grab that second cup of coffee, sit down and listen to what God's doing. Or maybe you're coming home from church on a Sunday and just catching the program and just thinking, man, that was a great service today. And you want to realize that God is at work throughout Western New York, not just in your little context or your big context even, but God is just at work throughout Western New York. And it's just so cool to see him working in so many different ways. We're going to hear about that in just a minute as we continue on with Christ Together Radio. Again, I want to remind you, go to our website, WDCXradio.com, click on Programs and click on Christ Together Radio. Check out some of our past episodes or broadcasts on there. There's some really cool stories. Ryan just reminding me of like John Micah from Teacher's Desk and Terry King and Justin King from the Western New York Resource Council. And even going back to guys doing stuff outside of Western New York, Charlie Mitchell.
Yeah, in Baltimore. Planting in Baltimore.
And yeah. just some great stuff, even some counseling stuff with David Drake.
Yeah.
If you're all messed up, you can call David Drake.
Call David Drake.
So he's going to love us
call
for
631
that.
Drake. You know, the other thing, too, I just wanted to say, one of the other church planters we worked with was Derek Parks. I had a chance to fly to Wilmington and see him a couple weeks ago. And the work that the Lord's doing in and through his calling in Wilmington. Great dude. Loved it. It's really fun to see.
It is. It is. So many great people involved in the ministry, isn't it? That's one of the benefits of ministry. You get to hang out with really great people like Ryan and Chris.
Thank you.
Yeah, you guys are really cool. All right. We better take a break before this gets weird. This is WDCX Radio. You're listening to Christ Together.
This is Christ Together Radio with WDCX General Manager Brent Larson and Pastor Ryan Cozy, Pastor of Missional Living at The Chapel.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. We're having a good time here just sitting around talking about what God is doing in Western New York. And that's really what this program is. We just bring people in studio who are involved in the Church of Western New York and doing things for the sake of the gospel in Western New York. We just talk about things that are happening, Ryan. And I know this week we wanted to, last week we talked about the church planting initiatives and some of the guys involved with that. I know Rick Rouse, Chad Rieselman, and Chris Duke all joined us in studio, and they're joining us again this week. But we want to take it to that next level of what does it mean? I mean, it's okay, great, you're planting churches. That's really cool. We're really proud of you. That's really trendy. Mm-hmm. What does that mean for a region?
Yeah. Well, I mean, planting itself is just, it's one example of things that are going on in this region. So there have been a lot of people who have been asking me, hey, I want to be a part of the Church of Western New York. What is that? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the reality is, and this is just one of those things that you kind of discover as you start gaining some momentum. You're like, you know, we should probably write some things down that clearly articulate what we're doing. A little bit of a viral thing going here.
Now that we're this far along.
We're not so tight and right now. But so I just, you know, because of how my mind works, I thought, you know, I don't want for people to ask that question and me not to be able to give them something. And so I just began, and this is something that's going to become more public in time, but you know, when I really look at what God has been doing in and through the Church of Western New York, there's kind of four buckets that I see. One is just greater body partnership as a whole. So churches are praying for other churches. Churches are, you know, they're swapping pulpits and they may be doing service initiatives together, stuff like that. Those are all good things. And honestly, people can gauge the effectiveness of that. You know, some are pretty critical of it, and some are pretty gracious about it. But the reality is, it's happening, and you can't say it's not happening. You know, so there's clearly movement that's happening in this. So that's kind of like one bucket that's going on. The other thing is prayer. And this is an organizational aspect, and it's also a viral aspect. So one of the things that you start realizing as God's moving, you just start to realize, well, what is the undergirding movement that's driving this? Reality is, it's prayer. I have met people that for 20 years, they have been praying that this specifically would begin to happen in this region. And in particular, there's kind of two prayers that kind of really stick out to me. One, that God would bring the right people from outside in and raise up leaders from within, and then God would bring native sons and daughters home. Mm. And so it's funny because I feel like, Rick, are you from Western New York?
Binghamton area. Okay. Area,
yeah. Binghamton, Endicott.
Downstate.
Downstate.
Right. But I mean, we've been in the studio, and the reality is, like, you sit down with a Dan Trippi or a Derek Castronova or, you know, fill in the blank, it's God bringing native sons and daughters home. And at the same time, you know, some kid grows up in Garden Grove, California. I'm pointing to Chris Jew here, who's now, you know, he's pastor of Christ Central Buffalo in Amherst, New York. And God's brought him in, you know. And so you start to see, and Chad being from Binghamton area and then coming in and feeling home, you know, feeling like Buffalo's home. And I know it's funny, like, you talk with Chad about, you know, he's like, yeah, I'm dying here. My wife and I were buying our headstones. We're dying here. North Town of Wando or die. Yeah. And you're like, wow, that we need that in Western New York. So, but by the way,
that's more of a North Tonawanda thing.
Yeah.
once
I didn't want to say anything.
Once you're in, you ain't getting out.
The doors to NT are locked from the inside.
That is a big joke in NT, though. Like, once you're in, you can't get out.
It's true. It's very true.
So, but there's this aspect of prayer that is leading to these things happening. Yeah. And you can see it. And there's an organizational aspect of it, meaning churches are coming together and they're intentionally doing that. And there's a viral component of it. People in their own practice of intimacy with God are praying for kingdom things, and kingdom things are happening. So it's clear that bucket exists. A third one is church planting, right? So we've talked about CPI, and you know, for me, it's like, and this is a pathway. This is one of those pathways, and we're going to keep investing in it. We're going to keep being a part of it. But, you know, there's this fourth other bucket. And this is the one that I feel like if there's a muscle that is atrophied but has great potential, this is it. And this bucket, I've identified it as the full mobilization of all of God's people. Mm-hmm. Like we're, mm-hmm. in order to reach every man, woman, and child, it's going to take every man, woman, and child. And the way, now, what does that look like? How does it manifest itself? Well, you can look at it and you can say, yeah, you know, we need to plant churches. But you know what? There's a ton of other buckets in that bucket, like sub buckets, I would say, where you start talking about, like, if we're making disciples, people that are passionately following after Jesus, the Spirit begins to speak and to, they start listening. They start hearing it almost like the static starts going away. So there are business leaders that are going, you know what? I have a passion to help make faith-based organizations more sustainable. What do I do with that? I tell you what you do. There's a bucket for that. We can use that. I want to help with equitable health care in Western New York. How do I do that? Man, we have common relationships, we've got common tables, and we've got common resources. And if you want to be at that table, we got a pathway right now. I want to help with the systemic problem of education. Great, we've got a place for that. I want to help with vocational training. So all of these buckets just start developing, and you start realizing, man, there is like this whole new level, I think, that God wants to write a chapter about for the Church of Western New York. And I think he's making it clear to us. And I think what our role is in some of this stuff is to just document the movement of God. Those things that we can document, there's stuff we can't. But I think like that's this new chapter I think that the Lord wants to write is, do people really believe us when we say it's going to take all of us? Because I think that's a new chapter he's going to write.
Rick, throwing it to Rick Rouse from Akron Free Methodist Church, and I know, how many churches have you guys planted now, or how many?
Three.
Three different things coming out of this church in Akron.
Right.
That just God continued to work. And because when I hear Ryan talk, it seems a little bit overwhelming when you start thinking of all these buckets.
Thanks.
Yeah, way to go, Ryan. But it is. It's overwhelming to think of a church, the church now reaching culture and being culture influencers. And it seems like something that can't happen. But I immediately thought of you and how this church in Akron grew up and just started, you know, planting church and just doing stuff. And it just letting God lead. And so to you, it must not be that overwhelming.
It gets easier. That's all I'm saying. The first one, even for our team at Akron, was like, I think the questions it asked is, what's this going to cost us at a local level? You know, and you realize that God is a God of, well, he's a God of generosity. Yeah. And when we give in that way, Akron has been blessed. Yeah. You know, he continues to grow Akron. And if I just had in the church planning context, Akron has grown in the same period. And he's blessed us with resources, you know. And so it's like, I know you guys have heard this phrase around before, but you can't outgive God. Mm-hmm. And once you start being a river rather than a reservoir, and you say, okay, how is this going to flow? Then he begins to pour stuff in, you know, to that. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what I would say, and that's what I would encourage. Like, even for our, you know, leadership with the fourth church plant, it was like, okay, yeah, well, okay, let's
we've
go.
Done
let's
this
go.
Before.
We've done this
we've
before.
Seen God.
Let's
we've
go
seen
ahead,
God work
and,
before.
And God's going to move.
And that's exactly the lesson we can take from, you know, guys like you. You've been around. You've done it. And even in you guys, you know, Chad and Chris, as your church planters, I mean, there's an inherent risk in there. You've got a family, and you've got you know, things to consider. I mean, life is still real for you. You still have to eat every day. You're not robots. You still have a life to live. And so it's a little bit risky, but as we begin to trust God for the increase and trust God to take care of and trusting that our plans are indeed his plans given to us, we see him start to move. And these things that Ryan is talking about, like, you know, healthcare for those who need it in Western New York. Well, that's kind of the government's job. No, it's the church's job. Let's get in there and let's do something. And that can't happen, can it, Chad?
So coming from the perspective of CPI being, you know, Lumber City Church is one of the beachhead churches of the first wave of church planting in this movement with, you know, renovation and Dwight and all those sorts of things. And what that does and what that did is, if you want to document what God has been doing, is it's given us the latitude to create a model of church by which, you know, Ryan talks about mobilizing every believer. when people see new things happening, there's a new expectation for their faith, and they begin to do things differently. And church plants classically reach unchurched people at a higher rate than traditional churches or established churches will. So you bring people into a new way of doing church, into a new thing of doing church, the expected next outcome could be, well, then what else is there beyond church planting, church multiplication, using existing structures that just need maybe a facelift and helping to revitalize not just churches but neighborhoods. And as all those new things begin to happen, as we shine lights on concrete silos downtown and Buffalo itself being in the middle of a renaissance, it gives us opportunity as leaders to lead people in new ways and mobilizing every single believer in our churches. Because really, that's where God is going to do the work. It's going to be well led because that's just the way God does things. But it's going to happen through the personal connections that everyday believers are making in every home, every school, and every workplace to every single man, woman, and child. That's so part of this next season for us. I believe we're going to see those things happening, and it's going to happen more through people who are listening to this program today than it is just the smart stuff that we do around the table. It's going to be everybody going to work with a confidence that God is actually going to meet them and be able to pay for things that they said God could do without having any idea where those resources are going to come from. By faith that we're going to step out and do those things.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Chris, I'm looking at you. You're newest to the region. You hear this stuff. What's going on in your mind?
So one of the really exciting things for me is, as I think about the needs of a region, words from Tim Keller come to mind where he describes, in a city, the needs can become so overwhelming that no single congregation or no single denomination can really address them. Mm-hmm. When I think about issues like poverty or some of those systemic, issues of justice in our city, they're truly things where I think if your church feels called to address poverty in a region, well, you realize that you can maybe help a few poor people, but you can't address those systemic things without a bunch of other churches working together. And so that's where I really think the power of CPI, the Church of Western New York, lies, is you can do things together that, fit in a kind of an ecumenical, sort of boundary there. Mm-hmm. But you can do things together that you just can't do no matter how big your church is when you mobilize multiple churches and an entire single movement of people in a region. And so as a smaller church, you really sense how much God's people need to sort of band together to address those things that only the whole church can do.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I do, I know we're coming up against the time for this segment. You're listening to Christ Together Radio. My name is Ryan Cozy. In studio today, we have Pastor Rick Rouse from Akron Free Methodist, Pastor Chad Rieselman from Lumber City Church in North Tonawanda, Pastor Chris Jew from Christ Central Buffalo in Amherst, and you got me, Uncle Ryan, and crazy Uncle Lazy Eye Brett over here. We're talking
There's only one crazy uncle, so one of us has to be it.
So we're just talking about, as the Church of Western New York continues to grow in its understanding of the region, that the reality is the diversity of opportunity that exists for the church to take things on. That's where we're at. That's what the Lord is showing us, and we're trying to figure this out as we go. One thing I want to pull from what Chad said, and I'll close this segment with this, is if you're listening and you identify as a follower of Jesus Christ, you have to hear this different. We actually believe that God is crazy enough to be thinking about you as part of the solve. Mm-hmm. And that the more people that practice intimacy with God, deep community with God, the more that they understand their Heavenly Father, the clearer that they hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, the more confidence you're going to have driving around in your car, listening at home to your radio, you're gonna have that much more confidence to say, I believe the Spirit of God is speaking to me, and this is what He wants me to do. And that is the next chapter, I think, that God's trying to write as it relates to saturation of the gospel, full-fledged, here in Western New York, for the glory of God.
Amen. Amen. You're listening to Christ Together Radio. We want you to stay tuned. There's more good stuff to come. Keep it right here tuned to WDCX. We'll be back in a minute.
Email your questions to Brett and Ryan about anything you've heard, or just about anything you can think of. Send them to ctr@wdcxradio.com. That's ctr@wdcxradio.com.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, sitting alongside Ryan Cozy as we co-host together every week. Usually we get along, sometimes we don't, and that's when it gets fun. And when crazy Uncle Ryan gets crazy up in here, that's when it gets fun. Now, just love these guys in the room joining us today, and it's Rick Rouse, Chad Rieselman, and Chris Jew, all local pastors, church planters, guys who are just kicking it for Jesus in Western New York, and we're just...
I think you just revealed your age there.
Yeah, they did.
Kicking it for Jesus.
It was trying to...
Mace on the board.
Got Mace on the board in there. No, Myron... Ryan has fun with Meyer and our board operator in there, but we're I totally revealed my age, like a child of the early, like of the 70s, 80s, and 90s there. But you know, trying to be all like a hipster church. We have church planters in the room, so everybody ups their hipster game. But really, none of these guys in here, save maybe Chris. He's kind of from California.
Chris is kind of cool.
He's a body surfer. He's not really a surfer. He's a body surfer.
Oh, so when I was 15. So
you were 15. See, I grew
back when kicking it was. I grew up in the still.
Term. Yeah. They pulled that one out of the closet,
that was
man.
Awesome. I did totally. But you know, I grew up body surfing on the shores of Lake Erie, so you know. No, I'm just kidding. I don't even know if that's possible. just lay there like a just. How did we get on this? Anyway,
I don't know.
We're talking church planting today, and we really, really believe in this, and we just have a great time together. And one of the reasons that you know church planting is so important is because, as Chad was saying, it begins to mobilize the individuals that make up the church. It's not just about a name of a church or the community as a whole. It's about the individuals and them reaching out into their what we call sphere of influence and who they touch every day in order to make a difference. And Ryan, that's the ultimate goal, is to make a difference for the gospel. The gospel changes everything.
It does. It does. And I think one of the things too, and we haven't really hit on this directly, but When people start listening to the voice of God, and they start they actually have intimacy with God, they're walking with their Heavenly Father, it helps to lighten the load for pastors. Yeah, I think like there's just a reality of there's times where people are just looking at you going, yeah, you got to figure this out. And God didn't make pastors to have all the gifts and all the tools necessary to figure all of this stuff out. You know, it's almost unfair. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody who's following Jesus and is a successful lawyer and they start hearing from God in a different way, I'll give a great example of this, okay? We had Matt Moran on the show a couple weeks ago.
Right.
He's a native son who's come home from Boston, mm-hmm. right? And he's, I think, at Community of Grace on North Forest, doing mm-hmm. great work. And, you know, a lot of people may not know this, but, you know, as we've been growing in our partnership base with urban ministries, there are times where ministries are set up that technically they're not legally compliant with New York state law. Mm-hmm. And I have helped a number of these ministries basically become compliant. And you know who's helped with that? Moran and Associates. Mm-hmm. Bill Moran loves Jesus. And he sees the value of helping ministries be on board. And I wouldn't have thought like, hey, this is a great, you know, here's a way for a lawyer to get involved. But yeah. it's just this viral nature, and I just thank God for people like David White and Bill Moran and these lawyers and their firms. Like these people they're helping the kingdom,
yeah.
And they're helping it in ways that, I'm sorry, as a pastor of a church in North Tonawanda, I'm not coming to you for legal counsel, right? and I, you know, I don't know about you, Pastor Rick, but I'm just not going to be asking you about real estate law. Yeah. And you know, I like you, and I don't really know you super well, Chris. We're getting to know each other a little bit better through this process, but you know, like I don't know that I'm going to give my tax info to you and say, hey, I need a CPA's advice here. And that's kind of the burden that people feel sometimes. Yeah. And so these people are waking up to the idea that God really does want to use them, and it's helping us to discover how diverse the ability for the Church of Western New York is to take things on.
Yeah.
And I'll give you a real tangible example of this. So, you know, one of the things that I love about the Church of Western New York is it's awakening my eyes to the confronting of injustice in the region, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And one of those things that exists, and people may or may not be super aware about this, but, like, redlining is real. Mm-hmm. And that's the idea that there are people in places of power that look at cities and they look at mm-hmm. developments and they say, as a bank or a lending arm, I'll invest in this part of a city, or I'll invest in this part of a of a suburban area. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do that, and it's you know, it's a safe investment. But there's other places where people live that lending is not something that a bank is going to do.
Yeah.
And you can look at that, and I remember watching, I actually was in a training yesterday for, it's called the Racial Equity Roundtable. Mm-hmm. It's hosted by the Community Foundation of Greater Buffalo, and they showed us how the FHA actually established lending post-World War II, and the lending built the white middle class of America. There were a million black soldiers who came home from World War II that could not get the same FHA loan mm-hmm. that a regular GI, an Anglo GI. There were Japanese POWs put in camps. Okay, there were Japanese soldiers that were Americans that fought for the United States that came home. They could not get the same loan. So what happens is you have this sprawl. Like, this is how suburbia happened, because prior to this, I don't know if you know you. To buy a house in the United States prior to the FHA,
yeah.
you had to put 50% of the payment down.
That's right. Mm. Yeah. Nobody would have homes.
Nobody had it. So the FHA basically, you know, they created risk categories of cities, and redlining is the places where those neighborhoods would not be invested in. And predominantly, that's where African communities were. Mm-hmm. So you look at that, and you have to say, okay, this still happens today. So let's flash forward and say, okay, well, what does the Church of Western New York do about something like that? Well, if lending isn't happening, why not start a community loan fund? Well, what is a community loan fund? Well, community loan fund is actually a way in which churches and individuals that love Jesus, they can, just like CPI, okay, this is the example, right? CPI, you've got people that are coming to a table, they have good relationships, and they're putting money into a pot saying, we want to do this. It's the same way with housing. You want to help families that can't get a bank loan buy a home? You can actually do that in and through the Church of Western New York. It's called the Community Loan Fund. Mm-hmm. And so churches are actually putting resources into this pot. And this year alone, the Community Loan Fund, this is, by the way, 716 Ministries, which is a great partner for the Church of Western New York. Mm-hmm. And this was an idea by a guy named John Lee. John is he's been a mentor to me. He's been a dear friend. But he just looked at a problem, and he said, why can't the church help get bank loan? Like mm-hmm. you can't get a bank loan? Great. Then in the name of Jesus, the Church of Western New York wants to help you buy that property.
Yeah.
And you pay it back, but everybody wins. And, you know, two, 3 years ago, somebody pitches an idea of the community loan fund for me for the Church of Western New York, and I go, I don't really know how to help you.
That seems like a lot to tackle.
Yeah. It is. But when God awakens the heart of a guy like John Lee, and God awakens the heart of a ministry like 716, and they have great partnership, and there's synergy, and there's things that are going on, all of a sudden the Church of Western New York starts helping people that can't get a bank loan buy a home.
Yeah.
And what smells more like Jesus than that? Like, I mean, it's just a different way to look at things, but that's like one of those tangible examples that it's alive, it's well. If you want to do that, reach out to 716 Ministries, get in touch with Jeff Jones, who's the executive director. Yeah. If you want to reach me, you can email me. I can get you in touch with John Lee. But this is real, and churches are investing in it, and families' lives are being changed because of it. Now, are we as big as a major banking institution? No, we're not. But I'll tell you what happens. If the Church of Western New York starts addressing these issues, who's to say that it won't affect the ethos of those lending institutions? I don't know that it will, but doggone it, I'm going to get involved in this, and there's people listening to this right now that can get involved in this.
That's right, and if and when we do it well and do it with integrity, it will almost demand attention.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it will take off, and it will be the kind of thing where people notice, and it begins to be sung, you know, mm-hmm. throughout the community. And, you know, in situations like that, people will be noticed. And I know, Ryan, there's other things working that
sure.
that we're like dying to share with people. But it's not that there's some black box or anything. It's just you want to be sure of everything.
Right.
And there's some things that are just in the literal Genesis stage of development that God is doing in Western New York. And I think it's going to be exciting. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to give. So often, Ryan, we have three guys in this room who are church planters and involved in everything. And definitely, you know, the front lines of all of this stuff that's happening comes from that. But there are businessmen and women throughout Western New York who have amazing talents and skills that consider them secular skills, and they're not.
Yes.
God, you are a minister of the gospel in your own wherever you are, and using your talents and gifts for the Lord, whether you're a CPA or a lawyer or whatever. Think about it. Think about this, Ryan. You have the Community Lending Association or whatever you call it, want to call it, officially. And you're gonna need some people who know finance to deal with this stuff, mm-hmm. and you're gonna need some lawyers to make sure that all the stuff is done right with the state. And you're gonna need, and all of a sudden you're doing ministry within the skills and talents and things that supposedly that are secular in nature. They're not. They're biblical.
Right.
And you know, God has made you in His image, and He's made you with certain talents. So it's really cool to see. And these people are people from your own churches. You know?
Yeah, it's not just people that have incredible depth of resources. It's every right. single person who believes in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, just from like Colossians chapter 1, 19 and 20, for God in all His fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through Him God reconciled everything to Himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. The life of Christ being lived out by all these believers is going to be not just change their life, it's going to change the entire community, the environment of where the gospel is taking off. And again, the beginning of planting churches and revitalizing churches and investing in churches, the outcomes are now that the entire city becomes something that belongs to God as every single man, woman, and child who believes in Jesus Christ invests their lives here so that greater end can be.
Yeah,
yeah, and I think one of the smaller issues here is that, you know, people don't really realize, I think, how much they have to give. They don't realize what resources are. And so an example in my mind is, you know, most everyone that's listening to this radio show can speak English. And that's a commodity that they can be sharing with international students, with refugees, with a ton of ways to apply that in a helpful way in Western New York. But I think we just don't oftentimes think of the things that we do have as resources that can be a blessing to somebody, and they are. And God has gifted everybody with resources to give.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely true. And it's really cool to see just idea flow. You can begin to feel, if you're listening, you can feel the energy taking off from ideas like this. And as you get people who are visionary and just listening to God and how He wants to work, the ideas begin to flow. And the real real issue is who's willing. And that might be you driving in the car today. You know, Chad, I know you wanted to say something. We have about a minute left, so go ahead.
Yeah, and I think as God redeems these things, I think the best ideas for our future lie dormant in these places that have not been touched.
That's right.
That's where those great things are going to come from.
That's right. That's right. And so, as you know, as you're driving along, as you're listening to Christ Together Radio, and you hear about all these different buckets and these different things that God is doing along the way, you can't help but ask the real question. If you're a Christ follower, what's for me? And, you know, is it serving in your church nursery? Yes, it's all of that and more. But what, think bigger. What's for you, and how can you serve the Lord in the Church of Western New York and serve your community and people in Western New York right where you go to work every day? Or maybe you have a unique skill that can be used of God in some way. And man, the reward coming back, not financially, not any kind of weird, like, you know, buying a blessed rock or something like that. I'm talking about the reward coming back to you with the fulfillment and the joy that that only God can give and only Christ can give through the Holy Spirit in your life as you begin to serve Him with everything that you have. And there's nothing greater, there's no greater high, and there's no greater experience than watching God move in hearts and lives because He's working through you. So that's a challenge today. We have one more segment left here on Christ Together Radio. I don't want you to go anywhere. We're joined in studio by Rick Rouse, Chad Rieselman, and Chris Jew, all local pastors doing church planting and great works for God. As always, Ryan Cozy and myself co-hosting today. This is Christ Together Radio here on WDCX, and we'll be right back.
This is Christ Together Radio, a program where we help you join God on His mission. Listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy bring you into the roundtable discussion of what God is doing through the Church of Western New York.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio, joining you every week at 9 a.m. and on Saturdays and noon on Sundays right here on WDCX. I'm Brett Larson sitting alongside Ryan Cozy as we do every week. We've got three pastors joining us in studio today talking about the church planting initiative and just all the ramifications and ways that, that church planting and the Church of Western New York impacts community, and also just kind of what's next, like what does it look like? And even during the break, Ryan Chad was saying that, you know, kind of the idea of the church planting initiative is to work yourself out of a job, is to let churches begin to do this on their own where it just happens.
Yeah. Well, and it's kind of cool to watch it happen, right? So in the next 4 years, I think, the Church of Western New York will have one church with a DNA for every man, woman, child for every 25,000 people. So we'll go from the ratio from 1 to 50,000, then we'll go 1 to 25,000, then we'll go 1 to 12,500, and then, right, it just goes down. So eventually, the models look different. My goodness, like, and that, like, this last segment, this, I mean, I think that's putting the ball on the tee, but, you know, 5 years ago, you couldn't talk about alternative models of church. You know, the right. idea, you know, it's like, whoa, you know, that just sounds, I don't know what I feel about that. But, you know, you just start realizing, like, no, you know, we're planting churches. These churches know that they're churches. They're exercising discipline. They're orthodox in their beliefs. And when I say that, I should probably clarify that for this, someone at home. Like, we kind of operate under the Lausanne Covenant. And the Lausanne Covenant is... anything John Stott writes, I'm typically a big fan of, even if it was from 1972 or 73. But it was basically the understanding, like they're trying to send the gospel to the whole world.
Right.
And in order to do that, believe it or not, the Assemblies of God cares about that. The Free Methodists care about that. The Reform care about that. You know, the Mennonites care about that. I mean, the Baptists care about that, right? And they care about it in different ways and in their own tribal ways. Like, they care about that. But, like, Lausanne was the ability to help the world understand that those groups can work together. And while there's a ton of tenets within it, like, kind of the big middle of it is Jesus is the only way. He can forgive anyone for all of their sins. The Trinity is mysterious, but it's real. And the Bible is authoritative. Like that's the bit, and the Great Commission still applies. Those five things kind of represent the overarching theme of what's going on within that. And that is the basis with which we can sit at this table without great tension. Right? I mean, we can joke around about, you know, boy, those Free Methodists, man, I tell you what. Or, man, those AGs, man, they were hooting and hollering the other night. Those Reform, they're stoic. Yeah. You know, they, like, we can do all of that stuff, and we're laughing, we're giggling about it, and but it makes for this incredible pathway for greater body partnership.
The Reform, like a fifth?
I'm just kidding. Yeah.
But it is true, and I know Chad's got, you know, a unique ministry context over that you were talking about, Ryan. And,
yeah.
It's just really cool to see, and there's so much happening. You know what I liked? I loved the conversation we were having just last segment about just the practical tentacles that reach out,
yeah.
And the community center is one of those things, right?
It really is. So and for this last segment, I know we talked about this briefly a few weeks ago, but I'd love to hit on it again. So, you know, basically, I'll put the ball on the tee, and then, Chad, I want you to kind of unpack it, because this is your context. But, you know, when's the last time you heard of a church selling a traditional church building so that they could move into a community center because it made them more strategically able to reach out to the marginalized people that there was fertile ground for the gospel in? Mm-hmm. That's the story. I mean, that's a big part of the story of Lumber City. And, Chad, I'd love for you to share more about just how, as you've exegeted the culture of North Tonawanda, this has been the pathway that makes the most sense, and it's also offered you a voice into the community in a great way.
Yeah. Well, to go back to, seeing things clearly, if there's obvious things that need to be done, and those things were made obvious through our friendship, Ryan, back in 2011, when you identified that my city has somewhere in the neighborhood of, and it was a sort of a hard number to nail down because it's a very transient population that has this, but right around 200 or so households that are run by single moms, that if there was ever anything that kept me awake at night, it was how do we reach them? And so over time, being given opportunity to partner with other ministries in our city to come together to reach those people, because we know they're there. North Tonawanda has it's got a really, really great, solid community feel to it. And there are, I mean, if you look on, if you've driven through North Tonawanda, which most people don't, if you get off River Road, if you get over onto Oliver Street, if you get between the Twin Cities, if you're on the other side of the Twin Cities near the Boulevard, it's, wow, this is a beautiful place. It identifies more as Wheatfield and, mm-hmm. and less as, or more as Amherst, and less as North Tonawanda. So when you get right down into those neighborhoods, the churches there know that the people that we're dealing with on a daily basis, the people with the high levels of needs, kind of live in a specific neighborhood. And over time, we developed through some inroads with partnerships something where we now have an incredible relationship to our school district. When you start to dig in your community to find out different pockets of your city and the community there, we found that the best way to connect with them is through the people that deal with those people every single day. So we just knocked on the door, began a relationship with the school, and we said, look, we understand you're not here to become rich and famous. You came here to invest in a community. We want to help support you in that. And so through that, Box of Hope was developed, where multiple churches get together with the schools and do three big outreaches a year, and specifically targeting the people that have the highest level of needs identified by the school. So we did that for a few years, and then this year, I just finished our year-end report. $34,000 worth of resources were distributed to God's favorite people in my city, and that those numbers never touched any school budgets, any church budgets, any city budgets, because we're aligning and getting things put in order so that the haves can share with the have-nots, if you will. And 178 to 200 different families reached. Right there's the number. So we're there. Mm-hmm. We have all this data now, and we put it on a map, and we see Lumber City Church is across the street from a nice golf course. And there's no red flags. there's no red flags. And these folks that are served don't have to come or go anywhere to be served. They don't have to come or go anywhere to be to register. So in that gospel sense, we want to meet people where they are at. That gave us opportunity to see these households on a map and see that we were way outside of the areas of greatest need. And if we're going to take the gospel, and if we're going to take on the image of God that is purchased for us by the blood of Christ to live like that, we're going to act like that, and we're going to go to those places, the pools of need where we're needed the most. And that just gave us an opportunity to say, that's where they are, this is where we are. And in March this year, Lumber City Church did our last Sunday of church, the last Sunday of February at our old location, and our first Sunday of church in the new place the next week, as we moved into the former Senior Zabo Hall, part of an Ascension Church, Catholic Church campus there. It was the gymnasium, art, and music building, and downstairs the cafeteria, fully functioning kitchen, Department of Health inspected, all ready to go, right in the area of the highest level of needs in our community. And now the shot has been heard in our city, and every time there's something's going on in our city, Lumber City Church is not just mentioned, but we're given a spot at the table to help guide and direct our, you know, some of the resources in our city in a grander way that we would not have had access to do before. And it's given us now as a church, again, mostly new believers in a church plant, the ability to say, okay, here's this street. Here's Kyle Street on July 2nd. Mm-hmm. We're inviting everyone on that street out to lunch so we can get to know them. Yeah. And you talk about mobilizing every believer in your church. We've got an ex-combat Marine veteran who goes to our church who's not going to go and knock on every door on Kyle Street. He'll walk with your group and he'll pray from the curb, but led by the Spirit to go and start a conversation with a man who lost his son in Afghanistan. Uh-huh. And those sorts. And now, not only are they are we making a connection? But God is really leading to life-giving conversations at that level where, what do I have to give? You know what he has to give? Very little. He's a veteran. This is what he had to give: a Father's Day card and some cookies on Father's Day. And you know where he took it? He took it to that guy's house.
Yeah, that's cool.
So being there gives us access to those things. Mm-hmm. And then the way that we do church, it has to be shaped around, where is God taking us? I mean, to lead people to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, here's what you find out when you get really close to Jesus. This is what he says: go.
Mm-hmm.
And so we now have not just a vehicle for doing that, but a passion for doing that, and a very clean slate and a very wide and large opportunity right in front of us to be a part of the bigger things, city things, development corporation things, city planning things, and continued relationship with our schools and everything else.
Yeah. Well, I would say to that, like, one of the things that's encouraging to me is, like, I do this with a lot of churches. I mean, I do data dumps, I call them. And, you know, there's times where you do it and you're like, they're not going to do anything with this data. And to be honest, like, I walked away from meeting Chad. I didn't know you. You know, I'm like, well, we'll see what happens. And like 5 years later, he's sending me a picture going, I told you. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, he's really, like, the people of God and his church are really doing this.
You hit me with a 2x4.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got like 2 minutes left, I think.
Yeah.
To close up a second. Yeah. Chris, any final thoughts? Rick, any final thoughts in just this dialogue today?
Well, I would just say that, I think Church of Western New York as a whole has really revitalized not just church planning prospects here, but I think it's given a broader vision for what God can be doing through groups like these or coalitions like these to churches and regions throughout the nation. And mm-hmm. with friends and other just denominational pastors and partners I've been speaking with, this is a fairly revolutionary and frankly encouraging activity happening here, where they look at their own cities and wonder, why not? Why don't we do this? Right. What's stopping us from doing the exact same thing? And so my thought, my encouragement for a lot of the ones listening here is, you have friends who are living in other cities, living in other states. I don't think there's anything stopping this same kind of movement from happening in other areas, especially those areas where there's tremendous need, metro areas, areas with a lot of urban poor or just needs beyond a local church. And so I would just really encourage for the listeners, be involved here locally and spread the word that that God might do more unifying work in his church throughout the United States.
Rick?
Yeah, for me, I know you guys were giving me kudos for inspiring you about church planning because I'm an old guy that's done it. So from my end of it, I just want to say, Chad, you know, and also to Chris, you know, what you guys are doing has inspired me. This is an area we need to get involved in. And the cool thing, I think, Ryan, is that we don't have to recreate it.
No.
We don't have to recreate it at our local church. We don't have to create it personally. This is something we can join and partner with that's already going. And why wouldn't we do that? And why wouldn't we do that?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Good stuff.
Oh, that's great. Hopefully you've enjoyed hearing from Rick Rouse, pastor at Akron Free Methodist, Chad Rieselman, pastor at Lumber City Church, and Chris Jew, pastor at Christ Central in Buffalo. They meet out of Restoration Church, but they're separate churching in the Buffalo area, Christ Central Church. So hopefully you've enjoyed hearing from these guys, hearing what God is doing as he continues his Missio Dei, as we call it, his mission, the mission of God in Western New York. And hopefully you're challenged to get involved. If you're involved in a local church now, talk to your pastor. There's no magic in the Christ Together Network or the Church of Western New York other than it's the church. And so just get involved. Do something. Ask your pastor, hey, what can I do? I'm willing. I'm here. And I'm sure they'll find things for you to do to get involved. And just start reaching people at your workplace or in your neighborhood. And just let God lead, as he can only do. You're listening to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson for co-host Ryan Cozy, and our pastors joining us in studio today. Thank you for listening, and have a great week, and go serve your King.
Thanks for listening to Christ Together Radio. To join in, email Brett and Ryan at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Join us next week for more great discussion about Christ Together.